And now, Jalen and Jacoby.
He is Jalen Anthony.
What?
Rose.
Dole.
I'm David Jacoby. And on the cool check-in. Together we are Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do?
We give the people what they want.
A lot to discuss today, but we start in the Bay where the Lakers came to town. It looked a little different, though. They were without LeBron James in uniform off of a good performance from AD and that man Kyle Kuzma. That came away with a win. LeBron does so much for this team, Jalen. What was it like to see them without him?
Well, it was basically unlocking what could be some young, talented forwards playing quality minutes if they didn't have an MVP-level future Hall of Fame 35-year-old, 17th-year guy that really is so very dominant at this point of his career in LeBron James. It unlocked Kyle Kuzma, and it allows you to feature Anthony Davis. That's really what it kind of gave you a glimpse of. And I came into the season acknowledging that if the Lakers are going to win it all, it's because Kyle Kuzma is going to elevate himself into a big three along with those two guys. But when you get hurt playing Team USA, you start training camp injured. The team gets off to a great start, and LeBron really plays up front with AD and kind of plays your position and really playing your minutes. It's really no way to integrate you back in the situation. You have to get in where you fit in. But each time Kuzma gets extended minutes, he continues to be really productive.
Kuzma will be very helpful for them and a big contributor come playoff time when they make that run. But even though it was fun to watch Kuzma and AD on the floor, it was more fun to watch LeBron James just sort of free of responsibility, just watching the game like you or I, like a fan, because he really seemed to enjoy himself. There he is making jokes with Danny Green. But Jalen, just tell me what you see from James's body language on the sideline.
He was enjoying himself. He living his best life. He suited and booted, got $1 million worth of jewelry on, got his top pin or brooch or something that he probably saw an OG rocking back in the day. His haircut super crisp. He ain't have to wear a do-rag. His team is the best record in the Western Conference. He got more money than God. His kids are successful. His wife is beautiful. Like, he's living his best life. That's what load management should be.
Wait, load management, what about the sore groin, Jalen? He had an injury. He was injured. That was a groin injury. What do you mean load management, Jalen?
That's OG in-season load management. It's one thing for a guy to play, you know, 10, 12 years and take a night off. It's another thing where a guy's 27 years old. Like, it's way different.
Fair. Well, someone who actually is injured is, on the Warriors, Steph Curry. There were some reports that maybe he would come back this Sunday, but then they refuted that report. Well, they're going to meet on Friday to create a plan for Steph Curry's return from hand surgery. Jalen, if you were in that meeting, what would you suggest that plan be?
I would suggest giving Steph Curry at least 10 nice games to play this year. Just to allow him to play the game that he loves, put in some work. If he wasn't in the NBA, he'd be somewhere playing ball anyway. Dad was in the league. Brother's currently in the league. He had a hand injury. It's not like he have a foot injury or a knee injury or something to his lower extremities. So therefore, if he's healthy, I wouldn't have him going 40 minutes full throttle for every game for the remainder of the season. But I'll give him a nice 10, 15 game stretch where he can get a sweat in and salvage something for this regular season.
I think that makes sense. Jalen, the Thunder beat the Kings last night for their fifth straight win. And just take a look at this stat. I found this really interesting. What they have done is they have won 15 games when trailing entering the fourth quarter. That's almost double the nearest. Jalen, what does that tell you about their team that they've come back and won 15 times so far this season?
Well, they have multiple players that can dribble, pass, and shoot. And when you look at their collection of their team, you really don't know who you want to try to feature as it relates to stopping. They have a three-headed monster at the guard position with SGA, CP3, and Schrader. And when you go up front, they got tall wings like Gallinari that can make threes and drive. You know, Steven Adams was your guy. You know, he's going to play with effort. So they have so many different players that can show up and give you a productivity on a nightly basis. And again, I want to give Billy Donovan a lot of credit. It seems like the Kings are having it seems like the Thunder are having the kind of season that people thought the Kings would have. And yet they're still balling.
They really are. I did not expect the Thunder to be this good, but then when you watch the games, you're like, oh yeah, they do have a lot of weapons. And Schroeder, who people don't talk about that much, he's averaging 19 points a game. Really impressive. Jalen, the Sixers got a win last night without Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. However, it was against the Knicks, so, you know, you gotta take it for what it is. But they got 34 points from Tobias Harris. Jalen, how do they get this kind of production from Harris when Embiid and Simmons are on the floor?
David Jacoby, one of the things I learned in sports that was so very valuable to me, by the way, I grew up in the era that whatever season it was, we played that sport. So I played a little soccer. I played a little baseball. I did a little boxing. I played football. I played basketball. And the reason why I feel like it's important for young people to play so many different sports is you learn how to be a teammate depending on your role, whether you're the go-to guy or whether you're a guy that's minimized, whether you're somebody that's appreciated, whether you're somebody that's featured or whether it's not. So in high school, I played with Bashan Leonard and Howard Eisley. Both of those guys balled in college and balled in the league. In college, I was a member of the Fab Five. On a nightly basis, somebody else got to get going. And what you're seeing, we talked about this with Porzingis. We talked about it with AD and Kuzma. And now we're talking about this with Tobias Harris. Basically, what you're saying is players that aren't the alpha, the one option on their team, how are you able to get that same productivity from them when the best player is available? And that's a sacrifice that they have to figure out. And for Tobias Harris, it's going to be crucial for this Philadelphia team because they invested in him and they gave him the belief that he could do it. Now he's got to be able to do it when those other two guys are present.
Well, I've got some good news and some bad news about the availability of Joel Embiid. The good news is there's no structural damage. The bad news is he'll be out at least a week. Now, a week is not that long, but 2 weeks, 3 weeks, that's possible with this injury. Do you think the Sixers can hold on without Simmons or Embiid in the lineup?
So sports will humble you. And that visual right there is just the opposite of the visual we saw from Joel Embiid late against, I think, the Utah Jazz, when he shot a three-point shot that he probably didn't have to shoot to try to get him closer to 50 points. And he was really celebrating that bucket, as I would. I found ways in my career all through my life. Sometimes I was celebrating, and then you look back at it and you realize sometimes it was you were front running. And so now when you are so very dominant in that previous game, and then all of a sudden the next game happens at Cleveland, and your team gets the brakes beat off of it because you're not able to go, this is why I implore young people to play sports. Because it gives you a range of emotions that you have to find a way to navigate yourself through. Because just when you feel like it's all about you and you're shining in the ultimate moment, injuries or losses or unexpected things take place. But I expect him to respond and continue to play at an all NBA level.
I think the game you're discussing was actually against the Hawks. I might be wrong though. But now it's time.
Yeah, it was against the Hawks. Good call.
It's time for you and I to go to the table. Jalen, I saw just a simple dunk on Instagram, but I watched it over and over because I needed to see it. And then the more I saw it was like a good movie. The more I saw it, the more things I noticed. So, Jalen, first of all, look at that dunk, okay? How impressive was that dunk on its own? But then you realize that it was aided by his teammate in the orange shirt. So, Jalen, still impressive if you get a little help from your teammate.
That's extremely impressive. He definitely got help from his teammate, but don't underestimate the courage it takes to put your head above a rim, because guess what? Your feet have to eventually hit the floor. And that was not a clean landing.
Yes.
That was not a clean landing. That can go the wrong way. I appreciate the effort, but here's also what I appreciate. You hear that? You hear that soundtrack? You hear that music?
Yeah.
That reminds me of Boys in the Hood. You see Cube over my shoulder with the Doughboy hat on representing the old English D. It reminds me of the scene when his brother got shot and they took the body back to the house. And they were in the living room. The baby shouldn't be seeing this. You remember that part?
Yes, Jalen.
The baby shouldn't be seeing this.
I do not know
this.
How it's related to that dunk that we just saw, but I do want to point something out from the dunk that we just saw.
The music.
Let me show you something from this dunk. Jalen Rose, look at this dunk one more time, and I want you to answer this question. Where are they playing? Why is there like a castle behind them? Is this the mid-1500s? Where is this?
I love that location. That looks fly. But you don't remember that part in Boys in the Hood? You ain't even see Boys in the Hood,
did you? Yes, I do remember that part in Boys in the Hood, Jalen Rose. I just do not know how it is related to that dunk in front of a castle.
The music!
I don't understand.
The music!
Jalen, something happened that has not happened all season in the National Basketball Association. The Minnesota Timberwolves rested D'Angelo Russell on Sunday, and the NBA fined them a whopping $25,000. Jalen, do you think this will dissuade teams from resting healthy players moving forward?
No, it's really head-scratching by the ball club, and here's why. Earlier in the year, Doc Rivers was talking about his team load managing, and he said the wrong thing that kind of wasn't in line with what Kawhi Leonard said, and their team got fined. So That was another situation where a team got fined basically for load managing. Here's the reality of it. Teams encourage it. Players want to do it and acknowledge and accept it. So you can dress it up any way you want to. The bottom line is players today don't take pride in playing a full schedule.
No.
And when you realize you can still get paid for those games, when you also realize all the media does is count rings and achievements, you're like, well, you know, it's a Wednesday night. You know, it's February. All people are going to do is judge me on the playoffs anyway. So now all of a sudden that trickles down from the elite players in the game to all the players in the game to where you have a team like Minnesota who's been in the lottery perennially, basically. Yeah, they made the playoffs a couple of years ago. Yeah. I know that.
Yep.
But for the most part, a team that goals aren't happening this year. Karl-Anthony Towns is dealing with some injuries. You just add D'Angelo Russell, who's an all-star with New Jersey, got traded to Golden State, got traded to you. And then you cheat the fans by not playing him when he's healthy. I understand the $25,000 fine, but that's really on the team for just putting themselves in that position.
Well, it really begs the question this. It's like, oh, you're going to fine me? Well, guess what? We'll do what LeBron did last night. We'll just pretend, make up some injury that maybe you have or maybe you don't have or maybe everyone's got banged up a little bit. So how can they stop teams from just associating resting players with injuries?
You're not putting that toothpaste back in the tube because the public a lot of times designates if that's acceptable by their favorite athletes. And nowadays, the audience feels like it's okay to take a day off. They have bought into that theory. I don't want to show my age and say, oh, back in my day, you know, fans and the players wanted to show up for work.
Just do it.
I wanted to have a consecutive play streak. Now it's, you know, if I was him, I'd miss a game too. It's weird because now we have this privilege to believe that the player should be able to be around the league 15 or 20 healthy years, where that's not usually how this sports thing works. You're playing against the best of the best. Everybody dreams of this dream. If you're there for 3 years, you're lucky. If you're there for even more of that, you're even fortunate. So now that teams and players have found loopholes to elongate their careers, I can't be mad at it.
Jalen, I just want to point something out here. Do you know who doesn't load manage? Jalen and Jacoby. You don't see us taking shows off. You don't see me going on vacation. You don't see me calling in sick. We'll be here every single day at 2 o'clock on ESPN2. Moving on, Jalen, your old stomping grounds, Indianapolis, the Blazers and the Pacers faced off. It was a close game. Miles Turner hit a big three at the end to seal it for the Pacers, but it was that guy, Victor Oladipo, who in the third quarter had 12 of his 15 points, had a little energy, a little scoring, looked a little bit like the old Victor Oladipo from before the injury. He struggled a bit coming back from this injury. Do you think that he will be up to full strength come playoff time?
Well, you'll know when he's back because you saw that last layup for Victor Oladipo when he has his bounce. That's a bang bang Siegel Street right there. That's not a layup. That's somebody want to jump up if they want to. You're gonna get banged on. That's one of those. I remember sitting on the baseline when Michigan was playing at Indiana and he went coast to coast and got one of those right in front of me. So that's when he's back. Indiana are amongst a couple of teams that to me are clearly not the Bucks, who've distinguished themselves as the best team in the conference. The Celtics, to me, have slotted themselves as second. And the Raptors play the hardest, and they're the defending champions. After that, the Heat, the Pacers, the Sixers, it really depends on matchups, in my opinion, if those teams really going to have a legit chance to advance in injury. And so now that he is back, hopefully he can play at a level that puts them in position to meet their goals.
If the Pacers are a little bit tricky, like they were really, after the All-Star break, they lost some games and they've been kind of hot lately. It's just hard to tell who they are, but they will be a hard out come playoff time. You know, that Pacers game I watched another game too, Jalen Rose. It was the Michigan Wolverines against Wisconsin. And I can't lie, I stopped watching at halftime. The Wolverines had like 27 points at halftime. It just seemed like Wisconsin was hitting everything. It wasn't very competitive from the maize and blue. Jalen, what do you see? I know you watched this one too. We were texting.
Shout to Xavier Simpson. He was out there balling at the point guard, continuing to get to the bucket, finish. He kept us in the game. But that gentleman that you see right there, Trice, he was the problem. I think he had 28 points. Their point guard, he was balling. Ford was knocking down threes. Trotter was knocking down threes. It was one of those games as somebody that played in the Big Ten. And I remember going to Purdue and they had Gene Katie and the Big Dog. And then going to Ohio State and they had Jim Jackson. And going to Indiana and they had Bobby Knight. Going to Minnesota, they had Voshawn Leonard. Going to Wisconsin, they had Michael Finley and Tracy Webster. Like, that's what this reminds me of now. When you go around the Big Ten, Michigan State had Sean Respert. It's so many teams that are going to make the NCAA tournament. Allegedly up to 10. Big Ten teams.
I saw that. You start looking at the Big Ten, NCAA you're like, tournament. Which team is not a tournament team? And you get down to the very bottom of the standings. You're like, all right, finally, this team is not a tournament team.
Hey, man, Wisconsin, they came on the road. They took that win. That was a quality dub. I can't be mad at them.
It happens to me every day, every single day, like clockwork. Right after lunch, right in the afternoon, I get that 2:30 feeling. And I'm not alone. In fact, research shows that more than 70% of us hit the wall after lunch. Let a 5-hour energy shot help you leap over that wall instead of crashing into it. When you're traveling, anyone who travels as frequently as me and Jalen knows just how tiring it can be. Whether you're on business or on vacation, a 5-hour energy shot can help you stay alert and energized wherever you may be headed. 5-hour energy helps you get through your crazy on-the-go life with zero sugar, 4 calories, and a convenient portable size. It's the perfect pick-me-up for busy, hardworking people. Now it comes in 2 great extra-strength tropical tastes. Strawberry banana, delicious. Tropical bursts, also delicious. They are so good and can take you to a tropical on-the-go experience. Try them both. Then go online to, here's the URL, shop5hourenergy.com. Again, the word shop, the number 5, and then OurEnergy.com. And here's the thing. Use the code Jacoby, J-A-C-O-B-Y, at checkout. And you'll receive a one-time 10% off your order. Again, go to shop5hourenergy.com. Use the code Jacoby to receive a one-time 10% off 5-Hour Energy. Like Jalen Rose and myself, Jerry Jones loves to talk into microphones on television. And with all this Dak Prescott stuff going on, Jerry found himself a mic and a camera. Take it away.
This is a deal that ultimately I have to do. And I'm will have to, when I say do, I have to sign the check. So it's got to fit. And it has to fit a lot of things. And for me, this is not about Dak. It's about the team and about how to win. And that's not being in any way negative, I think, the world of Dak. But it's about the team. And if it doesn't feel right, it won't happen.
It's a deal he has to do. He has to cut the check, but it's got to be a fit. And if it doesn't feel right, it won't happen. What?
So, I really hate that this topic has become less about football wins, losses, and productivity, and branding, and the star, and all of that stuff. And it has now started to take a racial undercurrent that is so very obvious and is really being discussed, not necessarily on national platforms, but that's just the reality. And
explain.
When you see what Dak Prescott has meant for the Dallas Cowboys, he's a high-level starting quarterback in the NFL. He's established himself as such with the largest brand. They took him in the fourth round, Jacoby. He's making $2 million as a quarterback. We don't see these scenarios take place when it's time to take care of Jimmy Garoppolo or Matthew Stafford or Carson Wentz. Like, I would say that he's in the ballpark, if not better than those guys. And so for him to say, he didn't say, I'm looking forward to it. He didn't say, I'm excited about my future and I can't wait to get my quarterback inked up because we're going to do something special. It was almost like pulling teeth. It was like, oh, well, I have to do it. I mean, I have to sign the check. We know that already. You're the owner, the GM, the president. Like, we know this. And if I'm Dak Prescott, I ain't signing the franchise tag. Everybody else on the squad got taken care of that were notable. On the defensive side, on the offensive side, Amari Cooper's trying to get looked after. If I'm Dak Prescott, I am not signing a franchise tag. You already got the discount, Dallas. You already had a quarterback making $1-2 million the last couple of years. Tony Romo didn't have a problem getting his money. It just baffles me that we have to have these conversations every day.
Well, what baffled me is how Jerry Jones explained where he makes roster decisions.
I have not talked to Dez directly. I've been thinking about it a lot in the shower.
Yeah.
I have been. I'm not dismissing it. I don't want to sound like it should be dismissed by saying that.
Right.
I'm thinking about it.
Why did Jerry Jones just make me think about Jerry Jones in the shower? Why did he do that to us?
So I'll give you a different way to look at that. I talk so many times about taking multiple steam showers a day. And that becomes an emotional, psychological, spiritual space for me where I take only positive energy. Clearly, that's a chance to not be on the phone, not be on the computer, and to digest things, to pray for things, to dream about things, to sort through ideas, to decompress about things. So I do that, and I encourage people who don't get therapy to also find ways to create their own self version of it. I don't think that my context of what I was talking about taking place in the shower is equal to what he was describing. He was more trying to get a joke, and they didn't laugh. That's really what happened. But in all honesty, if you Dez Bryant, you got to feel good about it because you've been out of football the last couple of years.
Yeah, Dez Bryant's like, I think this is good news. I'm not sure. Moving on to another quarterback looking to get a deal done, and that is soon-to-be free agent Tom Brady. Our colleague Jeff Darlington yesterday said that people close to Brady have said that he's going to leave New England and find a new place to complete passes. And there's Ian Rappaport saying that Brady's agents, his representation, have met with some teams in Indianapolis, including
the Indianapolis Colts, the Las Vegas Raiders, and the Los Angeles Chargers. Jalen, every day, every report makes me feel more and more like he is going to leave the Patriots and play for another team. Do you feel the same way?
So I'm going to invoke a name into this conversation, Drew Henson. He was a guy that Tom Brady was platooning with at the University of Michigan at the quarterback spot, whether it was game to game, sometimes quarter to quarter. And what ended up happening is Henson was also a baseball player, and he had a contract, I think, with the Yankees, and that gave him leverage based on his scholarship. So I've seen Tom Brady overcome that, overcome his combine video. He's still running with that balloon shirt on. Okay, and he went in the sixth round, and my guy, my fellow alum, has only gone on to become the greatest quarterback of all time. So I will not and am not going to allow him to be slept on, and I will not be a person that sleeps on him. However, I will be a person to say this: the grass ain't always greener. If he looking to leave New England, in my opinion, it ain't Super Bowl or bust anymore, which is fine. He's already been to nine. He's already won six. So if you want to go do it for the love of the game and have some fun and play in Vegas with the Raiders and, you know, be adored by their fan base. And if you want to go to the Chargers and, you know, throw to their weapons and, you know, make it to the AFC playoffs, that's all fine dandy. But if it's about winning the Super Bowl, I believe that the only coach he's going to do that with is Bill Belichick.
Jalen, I actually agree with you on that one. I actually agree with you. I think that's a good point. Like, the grass is not always greener. Tom Brady, you can leave, but you're not going to wake up and be in the Super Bowl contention, especially with those three teams. If you put Tom Brady on any one of those three teams, I do not see them as true Super Bowl contenders. Moving on. NFLPA Executive Director Demoris Smith says he is confident that the CPA proposal will be approved by the union. Jalen, what's happening here is we have all these stars coming out saying why they should not approve it, but you got to remember 65% of the NFL makes less than $1 million, and they don't want to miss games. So, Jalen, do you think that the sort of silent majority will vote this to approve it, or will the vocal minority convince those to not approve it?
Just think about what you said. In a multi-billion dollar conglomerate where the commissioner makes around $50 million, the 65% of the labor makes $1 million or less. So for me, it's bigger than this CBA. It's, are the NFL players, whether right now or in a few years or in 5 years or in 10 years, going to be willing to do what we talked about on this program and then invited Richard Sherman on the program to further elaborate on? They got to be willing to strike to get what they want. That's what it seems like it's going to come down to. It's big bank taking little bank. It's billionaires bullying millionaires. If you can show that you're willing to miss preseason games and regular season games, that now furthers the leverage to get what you want. If you don't, you're going to get incremental progress each deal, but you're not going to get truly your ultimate value. And that's unfortunate because we adore football.
It is now time for your favorite segment, Jalen of the Week. With a 4.59 40-yard dash, Jalen Hurts ran the fastest 40-yard dash of all the quarterbacks at the combine. Now, we always talk about Tua and Joe Burrow, but Jalen Hurts is not projected to go very high in this draft. Do you think that this combine performance will help his draft stock?
So, I want to give you a visual, okay? As somebody that has watched football progress so much from a traditional line when it was two tight ends and it was a running back and a fullback and only two wide receivers lining up on the outside. Now, first down in three on the goal line, teams are in shotgun with five receivers. Like, the game has been way different. You're going to get an innovative genius at offensive coordinating to draft Jalen Hurts and put him alongside your everyday quarterback and nurture him in some snaps so he can still be a productive member of the team. I'm seeing this happen with Taysom Hill, for example.
That's what comes to mind.
There's so many ways to get a guy involved. The league has evolved from traditional what we consider a starting or a productive quarterback. I think he has evolved to somebody that's a winner, that can play under center, can also be somebody that's productive offensively. And if you get him the ball, I see that he runs 4.59 in a 40-yard dash. That matters in football. So you can minimize what you think he's going to be, and you're going to have people saying he needs to switch position. No, he will be a productive player on the next level on Sunday, Mondays, and Thursdays. Watch what I tell you.
Jalen Rose, you get to decide whether we discuss a topic or don't. It's time for Keep It Moving. If you want to discuss the topics, then hit the brakes. If not, me and Method Man jump in the minivan and keep it moving. Jalen, we start with a happy birthday for Luka Doncic. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
Hit the brakes.
Luka Doncic turns 21 today. However, when he was asked about that, he said it means nothing to him because in his country, you are an adult when you are 18. Jalen, he says he's going to celebrate just by having some dinner. How did you celebrate your 21st birthday?
Well, my 21st birthday, I was a junior in college. Since it happens in January, we were playing during the Big Ten season, and I don't remember it being anything special. But you know one thing about me and about being black. You don't have to celebrate your birthday in January, because guess what happened in June? I got drafted to the league. And I started celebrating my birthday from June 1994 until right now, February 2020.
Jalen, I have bad news from one of your guys. Keep moving or hit the brakes.
Hit the brakes.
Kelly Oubre has a torn meniscus and could be out for the rest of the season. So I want you just to have a moment to celebrate what he's done so far this season in Phoenix.
So, you know, I always talk about, like, of course people want to be a Hall of Famer or All-NBA or All-Star, and or everybody wants to be champions. But usually if you're really fortunate, you become something that's a lore, a veteran. And Kelly Oubre, earlier in his career, was trying to find his way in Washington. Yep. And they gave up on him too early, in my opinion. And I've been saying that on this show. And all of a sudden, you trade him to Phoenix under Monty Williams and Willie Green and playing alongside Booker and with Ayton and Rubio. And then he starts to find himself. He starts to get confident defensively, starts to play meaningful minutes, even though their team is in the lottery. And he started putting up numbers this year. He started dunking on people this year. He started really playing a lot better. Like, he's established himself that a guy that can now be a starter in this league and be really productive. So I'm happy for the way he played this year, and I'm hoping that he get well soon.
Next, I have some really good video from the combine. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
Hit the brakes.
You are about to see NFL tight end prospect Mitchell Wilcox go through the gauntlet drill. You got ball. Oh, look at that. Yeah, hit right in the
Why is that so funny? Look at the dude with the white hat on. Look at the dude with the white hat on at the bottom of the screen on the baseline. He saw it coming. He saw it coming.
He did.
Man, y'all messing up my stock. Y'all messing up my stock.
Does his perseverance, raise his draft stock? The guy that way had his funny. Why is this so funny?
Well, he's the kind of guy, if he gets hit in the face with a football, he continues to compete.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
Even though they wear a helmet in the sport that he plays.
Determination. I have even better video from the combine. Keep it moving or hit the break.
The breaks.
Arizona State University's punter, Michael Turk, bench pressed 225 pounds 25 times. That's more than any wide receiver. That's more than any tight end. Jalen, how many times could you bench press 225 pounds? And be honest, be honest.
I'm not sure I got to try it, but not as many times as him. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
But how about this, Jacoby? For a punter to be bench pressing more than any wide receiver at the combine, that is extremely impressive.
Oh, yeah. I'm okay. Drafting. I realize so he doesn't use his arms, but yeah. I don't care. I'm drafting him. I'm drafting him. Whatever. I'll take Michael Turk. We'll figure something out.
Well, he about to get the Sebastian Janikowski treatment going in the first round.
Chase Young thinks Chase Young is good at football. Keep it moving or hit the
brakes. Chase Young is a terrific player. And if you see how the Bosa brothers are being disruptive in the NFL, I think he's going to fall along the lines of how productive they've been. And as a Michigan Wolverine, I saw this up close and personal way too many times. Keep it moving.
Okay.
We keep it moving. We keep it moving.
The Chiefs, Chris Jones got some bad news. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
We'll keep it moving for now. We got to see what happens with Mahomes. Then we worry about signing everybody else.
We keep it moving.
Nick Nurse is more than just a great basketball coach.
Hit the brakes.
You know what? I love Nick Nurse so much. Not only is he a champion, not only does he have the Raptors exceeding expectations, look at him getting off the plane. He got the headphones on and the guitar. He's got the six string slinging across his back. He said he's working on about four tracks so he can do a musical performance next month. Are we going to have a road trip to go see Nick Nurse lay down on the six string?
Absolutely. I love to go watch him, you know, perform. Now let's see if we can put him with James Dolan and they can create a concert.
Knicks fans would love to see James Dolan contact Nick Nurse because he would really help out the franchise. Jalen, we're a few weeks into the XFL season, and I have to say, it's pretty good. I find myself watching a lot more XFL football than I expected to. And one particular moment that was excellent was this kickoff return reverse. Now, I know you've seen this. What they do is they have the two teams line up about 10 yards away from each other, and they cannot move until the ball is fielded by the returner. This is going to be helpful for player safety. It's pretty innovative. Do you think the NFL should adopt the XFL kickoff rules?
I think the NFL should do whatever it takes to put kickoffs back in the game because football looks different only when a couple of teams are playing. When the Chiefs are on the field, they look faster than everybody else. And Mahomes just looks more precise. When the Ravens are on the field, they're playing four down football when it seems like everybody else are playing three. And so therefore, you got to create more situations not only within the game to create excitement, but also opportunities for people to score. And you don't see as many punt returns in the game. You continue to minimize the kickoff rules in the NFL game. And now you see that the XFL has adopted a kickoff rule that possibly could be something that you could piggyback off of. I'm all for anything that brings legitimate kickoff return opportunities back into the NFL. I miss them so very much. They're really exciting, and I hope that that's something that they're trying to find a way to figure out.
Yeah, I mean, after a touchdown, you typically they go to commercial break, and I've pretty much, like, in my head, I find the kickoff to be part of that commercial break where I can go use the bathroom or get a snack or whatever. It's not even worth watching just to see it go in the end zone and then end up on the field. Well, last night, tough loss for Michigan against Wisconsin in Ann Arbor. But there's a big game coming up this weekend, Sunday at 4 o'clock. We have the Michigan Wolverines going up against their rival, Ohio State. Jalen, the Ohio State beat them by 3 earlier this season. What does Michigan need to do to get that win?
So we just need more balance. Xavier Simpson is going to get assists. And in the previous game, he was scoring the basketball terrifically in a loss to Wisconsin. I like the emergence of Wagner. He's been playing really well, slashing to the basket, making three-point shots. We're always better when Livers is in the lineup. We need his productivity. But we got to get something consistently down low from Teske. I know he's been up and down this season. He has the opportunity
to get the ball in the paint and make some plays and get to the free throw line and be a defensive rebounder and a rim protector. So those are the things that it's going to take to get a win at Ohio State that are ranked number 23 in the country.
We have a pretty significant game in the Western Conference this evening between the Nuggets and the Clippers. The Clippers have climbed up to just one game behind the Nuggets, and if they win this one, they could be tied for the 2 seed in the West. What do you think is going to happen in this one?
Well, as I look at what time that game comes on, I just remind myself of the dynamic duo that doesn't take days off, that's been doing this for 10 years. We're arguably the hardest working individuals and duo in the game. I see you doing High Noon. I see you doing Vanderpump Rules podcast. You're doing this show Monday through Friday. And it's a 7-day week for me, Jacoby. This ain't no easy thing, you know? That comes on at 10:30 Eastern. And guess what? Tomorrow, I'll be on a train to Boston. And you'll be in Boston doing hoop streams.
That's
and
right.
Then on Sunday, I have an early game, and then they added LeBron and Zion for the late game. I love what we do.
Tune into all that this weekend. We always say we give the people what they want, so we're not just going to give you the television show audio. We always give you podcast exclusive Too Hot for TV. Jalen said during the show, he goes, I got some pod topics. I got some pod topics. Which makes me excited, but also a little nervous. Because sometimes when you bring the pod topics, the show goes in directions that maybe it shouldn't. But take the wheel. I'm going in the passenger seat, Jalen Rose. Take the wheel.
So both of these topics really fall into the category of disappointment, to be honest with you.
Oh, no.
The first one is a serious one. And It has to do with the, unfortunately, it has to do with the unfortunate passing of the late, great Kobe Bryant, his daughter Gigi. I want to send prayers to the Bryant family and friends and loved ones and supporters and to everyone who unfortunately perished in the helicopter crash. He had a memorial, Jacoby, and I was fortunate enough to be able to pay my respects a couple of separate times. Initially, when the Lakers played their first game, there was a memorial at Staples Center. And you lived in Los Angeles, and you know how LAPC works. And they had a memorial set up for a few days when I was out there. And I got a chance to kind of pay my respects to his legacy while I was there. And so being in L.A. working the Sunday before the 224 memorial, I noticed that there were a lot of vendors who were basically trying to profit off of the death of Kobe Bryant. And it's one of those things where I understand that commerce never sleeps, but it's just a cold reality that a lot of these people were actually dressed up like fans or deemed themselves supporters. And that also carried itself to the goods that were distributed in and around the memorial for people then to take those items, go on eBay and try to sell them for a profit. And I applaud eBay for realizing that this was taking place and immediately seizing the opportunity for people to profit on their site off of Kobe Bryant's untimely death. It gives you, and I want to get your opinion on this, another reason to kind of, it gives me another reality check, how people will do anything to represent their best interest and bottom line, even if it's unethical in a lot of ways. What are your thoughts on that? Because I know you didn't expect this topic.
No, of course. I mean, my main thought is this, is you ever felt guilty? You know, have you ever like done something and then regretted it and felt like you shouldn't have done it? Because we all have like an internal moral compass that we know
what we feel is right and wrong. Not objectively what's right and wrong, but we feel is right and wrong. And I don't think that those people will be punished very much by the law. I don't think those people will be punished very much by their peers. But they'll explain it to themselves and to others that they're just trying to put food on their table and they need the money and this is a dire situation. But in my mind, there's karmic repercussions for things like this. Like, you know you're not doing something right. You're not just making a Kyle Kuzma t-shirt to sell outside a Laker game. That doesn't feel wrong as much as trying to profit off the past and the grief of others. And to me, it's like, there's karmic repercussions for that. And also in your own conscience, if you feel guilty about something that you know you've done something wrong, and personally I can't make decisions for these people, I would feel very, very guilty if I went out and spent money that I basically profited from the passing of Kobe Bryant and the grieving of people that love Kobe Bryant. Like, to me, that's just dirty money.
Well said. And the disgusting part is a lot of these people actually got these items from the memorial at the Staples Center. And as you know, myself and family, unfortunately, laid to rest my brother recently. Rest in peace, William Bill Rose. And as somebody that was not, quote unquote, a celebrity, I could not imagine somebody taking some of the items from his funeral and I go on eBay and see them selling those items for a profit. Like that, yeah. That's just, like you said, and you never know when karma happens. Let me teach everybody something. Karma doesn't just take place where you thought you was going to achieve a goal and it didn't happen. So, oh, that's karma. Karma happens in a lot of different ways. It happens when you look yourself in the mirror and you're not looking at your agent or your representative. You're actually looking at yourself and things that you want to improve on in life. You never figure out why they're not happening. Like, it could be, man, I got the worst looking feet. Oh, man, I got the worst looking nose. Or why can't I have the job that I want? Or why can't I find love? Or why isn't this kid on track? Or why do I got a bald spot in the middle of my head? Like, you never know where the karma comes from. It just happens. And so it's unfortunate that that's taking place, and I'm glad that eBay stepped in.
Me too.
I have one more for you.
Oh, I know you do.
As a taxpaying citizen, I'm not here to use my sports platform to talk about my political beliefs or who I plan to vote for. You know I'm passionate about education. You know I'm the founder of a charter high school. You know that I'm committed to my community and to the culture and trying to create valuable options for education for high school students, put them in position to not only graduate from high school, but graduate from college. And so it's funny to me as a Detroit native, when I stand on the table and root for my Lions, and you saw Royce da 5'9" on the show the other day, Jacoby, and how giddy we were thinking about Tua joining the squad. Well, yep. We've had some all-time great players in our history. And one of those guys is Barry Sanders. And for those that don't know, he wore number 20. And Garth Brooks was going to do a performance, and he had on a Sanders 20 jersey. And so many people got butt hurt because they felt that meant Bernie Sanders 2020. And were upset about it. Now, talk about when keeping it real goes wrong.
You know what?
What are your thoughts on that one?
Here are my thoughts on that one. If I worked for Bernie Sanders and we were about to go stumping through Michigan, I'm wearing a Barry Sanders jersey all through Michigan every single day. And I never considered this, that both Barry and Bernie Sanders have such similar names and such very different looks. Let's just say that. So Jalen, I have a very quick rec league update, and it is also kind of serious. Cause, yeah, you know my rec league team. We got
three hardworking doctors on the rec league team. And these are established guys, top of their field, in their 40s. Like, these aren't med school students. These are, like, real, real doctors, right? And we had a nice comeback win yesterday. And we are having some beverages watching, you know, the Pacers and the Blazers. And they started talking about coronavirus. Like, it was inevitable. And I said to them, wait, what are you talking about? He's like, oh, yeah, I just hope it kind of hurries up and gets you. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, oh, it's going to happen. I was like, what? He was like, I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, oh, it's going to happen. Like, the second the coronavirus hits New York City, we're all getting the coronavirus. And I was like, what? Because it hasn't really gotten to us yet. But basically, and again, I don't mean to alarm anybody. These are just a couple of guys after a basketball game over beers saying something. This is not a report or anything. But these experts are saying that the coronavirus is coming and tons of people are going to get it. Your thoughts, Mr. Rose?
So, you know, viruses in particular, HIV comes to mind. Cancer in its own way comes to mind as a couple of things that have separated, killed so many people in so many families. Like, these are things that we all up front can relate to, that it still boggles my mind in the information era when we're exposed to, you know, the advancements in medicine, and that we have not been able to, quote unquote, find cures for those. So now, as you add the corona, here's that word again, virus, it does seem inevitable that it's going to carry, because those have and those did. The unfortunate thing, and I hope all three of these that I mentioned can get summarized the exact same way, hopefully cures are coming. Because as I see people internationally wearing masks and in the airport and now physically walking down the street and or in public doing it, that's not an accident. Like, that when somebody's doing that, like, that's not an accident. They feel they know something that the rest of us don't know. And they feel like they're protecting themselves against something that we should be protecting ourselves against. So it's not going to be a stand on a table like my hair is on fire moment. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad that you brought the knowledge of two doctors who are trained, who get paid money to diagnose situations and anticipate what's going to take place, to acknowledge that that is a legitimate thing that could be happening in the near future. So it's really scary in a lot of ways.
It really is. And one thing I also want to say is these doctors also were like, you know what, it's a really bad flu. And there are some people that do not survive it, but those are generally very, very young and very, very old people. But it's a really bad flu. And then I just started thinking, like, if both me and my wife have the coronavirus, who's taking care of the kids? And the kids are sick?
For real.
Who's taking care of these people?
Real spill. And so, you just brought up something that, again, it's a topic that has come up in my life. Because I've been fortunate enough to fly private by myself and or with my family and friends. I actually flew private from the Wilder Fury fight with Pistons owner Tom Gores.
Oh, did you?
And absolutely. And so one of the things that became a topic of discussion in the horrific and the sad and tragic loss of Kobe Bryant and his daughter Gigi was what you just said. How parents should behave, for example, if they both have a coronavirus or one of them have it, and or both of them were traveling, should or if you should travel with your mate and or your entire family. When I played in Indiana, the gentleman who owned the team are the Simon brothers. And you go to any mall across the United States, at some point you're going to run into the Simon name. Like, that's They basically are the landlords of malls around the country in the United States of America. And one of the things that I learned as a member of their team is that the twin brothers never flew on the same airplane in case something happened so that the other one could carry on the legacy of the family. And they wouldn't both, unfortunately, be lost at the same time. This topic became an undercurrent when the helicopter with Kobe Bryant, carrying Kobe Bryant and his daughter and seven others were tragically killed, about allegedly he and his wife Vanessa had that pack that they, in theory, when they could, did not travel together. And a friend of mine, after it happened, I talked to him about it just randomly. Shout to D-Wade, who listened to the podcast. He was like, oh, me and my wife been doing that for years. Not traveling together and or splitting up the kids in case we travel. He was telling me how they were both going to a wedding and he gave me his connection in flight. He told me her connection in flight, and that's kind of how they've been doing it for years. So I put this out there for our podcast listeners to feel free to call 985-80-JALEN and tell me your thoughts on this. If your family would do something like this, hopefully we can make this a social clip in some way to get feedback as well. So now I want to ask you, Jacoby, because you mentioned if you and your wife both had the coronavirus, what do you think about the topic of parents or leadership traveling and or splitting up the family?
All the people that you mentioned that do that, those are all rich people. You know what I mean? I think when you don't have the means to do that, it becomes more difficult. Just the logistics become more difficult. Like when I went to Los Angeles recently with my family, we all flew in the same flight. We all got in the same car. We all stayed the same place. And I think that where I'm at, I would not consider doing this because of the how much I enjoy the time that the five of us spend together as a unit. Because with all the things that we have going on in our lives, we don't get too much time to just be the five of us as a unit. And that is so precious and so important to us that I would not consider splitting up me and my wife.
So I want to modify something that you said. My friend Dennis Wade isn't quote unquote rich.
Oh, I thought
so
you said
think
D
about
Wade.
It in a different way.
When you said D Wade, I thought you meant Dwayne Wade.
Well, my they bad. Have the same name. It's Dennis Wade. His name is D Wade. Yeah. And so, like Paris Smith said back in the day, my main man D Wade still gets paid in the off season. We vacate in the shade. So all hell the Mary, crack the Moet. Pass the boombox and act like George and Jet's son. So what I'm saying to you is a working family's thought process, because it's not more expensive in theory. Y'all both are still flying. Y'all just are deciding whether y'all going to fly on the same airplane or not. So talk to me about it with that dynamic. And do you know any people who do that?
Well, I'll say like this. It's probably like everything's a risk assessment, right? There's a risk assessment that you have to make. And I would say that you would probably be a lot safer if you walked around with a helmet on all day, right? You'd be safer. You know, if you put on a bulletproof vest every morning, you'd be safer just in case. But it's all just a judgment of risk assessment. And I don't feel that the numbers, the statistics of flying on a plane is this risky enough that I should split up me and my family? Because if you start thinking about it, you should probably have two cars then. You know what I mean? Like, cars are in, when me and my family go to the Natural History Museum, we're supposed to take two different Ubers on the way home? You know, I mean, that cost starts to add in there. So I would say that I personally do not make that decision because I do not think flying on a plane is as risky as other people. And I make that risk assessment and I say, you know what? This is low risk enough for me for all of us to be in the same place at the same time. Now, that being said, if we were going to go hang gliding or we were going to go skydiving or we were going to do something that's pretty risky, that just feels like, you know what? Maybe one of us won't come back from this. Then I might have a different approach.
Jalen. Great week of shows this week. You know, I want to thank Royster59 for coming through. I want to thank Rich Kleiman for coming through. And I want to thank everyone.
Go support the allegory.
That listens to the podcast, because our podcast listeners are the ones who've been down from the beginning. We'll be back on Monday. Why is that, Jalen Rose?
We're not done. Got the gift of people.